Amen. Turn your Bibles, if you please, to Mark chapter 5, and I wait for you at verse number 1. Mark chapter 5, verse 1. And church, this morning I want to make the grand old story relevant with a word from the Lord. I want to say something you can take home with you. For what good is preaching if it's not relevant? Some of us are having trouble on our jobs, at home, and in the domestic realm of your life. But this morning I stopped by on my way to heaven with a word from the Lord. Because we need to know how to deal with the vicissitudes of life. Mark chapter 5, verse 1 through 9. Then they came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gadarenes. And when he had come out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwellings among the tombs, and no one could bind him, not even with chains, because he had often been bound with shackles and chains. And the chains had been pulled apart by him, and the shackles broken in pieces. Neither could anyone tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying out, cutting himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and worshiped him. And he cried out with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you by God that you do not torment me." For he said to him, "Come out of the man, unclean spirit." Then he asked him, "What is your name?" And he answered, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." The tag for this text today will be entitled, "Seeing Jesus on Another Level of Divinity." Another level of divinity. Church, seeing Jesus on another level of divinity is important, necessary, and yea, even mandatory if we're going to bring healing to our society. Church, I'm saying we need Jesus on another level of divinity socially, because our society involves our family rejects and misfits. So number one, we need Jesus socially. Number two, we need Jesus on another level of divinity mentally, because our society must deal with the mentally ill. Number three, we need Jesus on another level of divinity spiritually, because folk are lost in our society and they don't know Jesus and they don't even know themselves. So this society needs Jesus, number one, socially, number two, mentally, and number three, spiritually, on another level of divinity. Now in Mark the 5th chapter, verse 1 through 9, we see Jesus and a crazy man. I said we see Jesus and a demoniac. But I see something this morning that I didn't see before. There's some relevancy here that I want to share with you this morning. And so the text is called Another Level of Divinity. Now, I know that sounds highfalutin, but I'll break it down as we go along. Now, some would say, Brother McGill, I heard you call this man a crazy man. Mm-hmm. And those of you in the sociological field, and those of you in the psychological field, maybe you say, Brother McGill, you could have used a better term than calling the man a crazy man. Well, I could have. I could have said the man was mentally ill or has schizophrenic tendencies or paranoia proclivities, or he was mentally deranged. But I think when we go through this text, and by the time I get to verse 6, I think you're going to agree that these critical and antiseptic terms of psychological nomenclature is not going to be applicable or applicable to what we're talking about this morning. And I think you will agree with me that we got a crazy man on our hands. And not only that, but I think you will agree that based on his behavioristics, that is his behavior characteristics, that this man was a crazy man. Now, I'm interested in Mark chapter 5 because it gives us an opportunity to view the power of Jesus on another level of divinity. We can see Jesus operating in a whole nother light. It gives us an opportunity to look at the messianic master in another light. Now, we saw him as he arrested the laws of nature. That is, he walked on the water. We saw Jesus when he raised the widow's son. We saw Jesus when he changed bread into bread and fish into more fish. I said, we saw Jesus change water into wine. And we saw Jesus heal crooked backs and open deaf ears and open blinded eyes and raise the dead. But right here, now is an opportunity to see the master on another level of divinity. We see the master here not just dealing from the outside in, but we see the master deal from the inside out. And so we're going to another level of divinity here so we can better appreciate the messianic master from Nazareth. Stay with me, I'm on my way somewhere. And of course, when we look at Mark chapter 5, I'm excited about it because it brings us to a very critical juncture in the church. Because many people believe that somehow the church is no longer relevant in the 21st century, that the church is no longer applicable to our needs in 2017. In other words, the church has been pushed to the fringes of our life and cannot effectively deal with the social, political maladies that we have in the world today. But I want to give you something to think about here, because that same Jesus, who is the head of the church, was not only able to minister to crippled folk and deal with folk with all kinds of diseases, but the Jesus that we serve is not only able to deal with the physiological man, but he can also deal with the psychological man. So we're going to another level of divinity. And you're not worried about crippled people no way in 2017. You don't have bars on your doors because of crippled people. Y'all don't hear me. I said you don't have bars on your doors because of crippled folk. You don't have bars on your doors and guns in your closet. 4 or 5 deadbolt locks on your door because of crippled folk. You're locked up because somebody is walking the streets that do not know who they are. And they're not in control of themselves. That's why you locked up in your own house. And so when our perception of Jesus becomes one that he can deal only with physical things and with the physiology of a man and not the psychology of man, we have a distorted view of our Savior Jesus Christ. And so when I come to Mark chapter 5, I was very interested in it because when I saw this man emerging from the gates of the Galilean graveyard, I saw a man with a problem. And when I saw this man emerging from the gates of that graveyard, I readily saw a man with some serious problems. And his problem was something else had control of him. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You'll feel like something else had control of you. This man's problem was he was possessed by forces that was not interested in his own welfare. This man did not know who he was. This man had a serious problem. And when I saw him emerging from the gates of this Galilean graveyard, I became very interested. So let's look at it in verse 3. The Bible says in verse 3, he had his dwellings among the tombs. Now, the first thing about this man that drove me to the conclusion that he was a crazy man is, number one, he lived in the graveyard. I said he lived in the graveyard. Now, if you're not convinced yet that he's a crazy man, who do you know that lives in the graveyard? Who do you know that gave you an address to the local graveyard? This man, the Bible says, lived in the graveyard, and nobody forced him to live there. Because verse 4 says, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him, which means he was in the graveyard by choice. That's where he wanted to be. And no one forced him. And the Bible says every time they tried to chain him, he would break the chains. And the Bible says no man could tame him. So there were 3 things about this man. He was untamable, he was unrestrainable, and he was unchangeable. Am I right about it? And he was living in the graveyard. And the Bible said nobody could do anything with him. He was untamable, he was unrestrainable, and he was unchangeable. Nobody could talk to him. Nobody could provide therapy for him. No doctor could help him. His mama couldn't help him. His daddy couldn't do nothing with him. The teachers couldn't teach him. The preacher couldn't do anything with him. And if I keep on talking, y'all gonna know somebody just like this. Just like I described. Matter of fact, some of us live with some folk just like this man. Hold me up, Holy Ghost. Some of us have bought folk in the world just like this man. And this was a crazy man. He was untamable, unrestrainable, and unchangeable. Nobody could do anything with this man. Y'all got time for this? This man lived in the graveyard. Now, verse 3 said he had his dwellings among the tombs. And the fact that he was living in the graveyard and was happy about it, that said it for me. Maybe not for you, but for me. Well, now verse 5 says, and always. Y'all see that? Everybody say, and always.
And always.
Everybody say, always.
Always.
Night and day.
Night and day.
You see, and not some nights. Not some days, but always, night and day. Watch this. The Bible says in verse 5, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying, cutting himself with stones. Now check this out. If you're not convinced yet that he was a crazy man, let's check this out. The Bible says always, night and day, every night. All night, always, up in the mountains, back down in the graveyard. How long? Always, up in the mountain, back down to the graveyard, running up in the mountain, turning around. Don't stop at 7-Eleven. Back down to the graveyard, all day. Now look at this man. All day, always, up in the mountains, back down in the valley. Now throw in, if you don't think he's crazy, throw in crying. Up in the mountains, back down in the graveyard, all day, all night, crying. Up in the mountains, back down in the graveyard, always, all day, all night, hollering. Now throw in cutting yourself, cutting himself. Up in the mountain, come on. Up in the mountains, back down in the graveyard, hollering, always, all day, all night, cutting himself. Now, if that's not enough, throw in naked. Come on. Up in the mountain, back down in the graveyard, always, day and night, hollering, cutting himself, but naked. You got to say that man crazy. But then the Bible says, but when he saw Jesus, I told you I'm a good news preacher. I said, when he saw Jesus afar off, yeah, he's crazy. But in a moment, in one scintilla of a second of time, one moving, reflecting moment, in his demented, deranged mind, one small set of sanity crossed his corrected and disrected mind. And in that moment of sanity, he saw Jesus. I said he saw Jesus. But now the master, and here we go, with another level of divinity. You see, because Jesus now didn't have a crippled man. Jesus now is not raising somebody from the dead. Jesus is not feeding hungry folk. He's got a crazy man that he's got to deal with. Yeah, y'all, we try to avoid folk that's different. But we got to deal with it, church. We got to deal with it. And Jesus got a man here that nobody can talk to. He's got a man here. You know, we just like, I'm just done. But nobody could talk to him. He got a man whose mama can't tell him anything. Daddy can't do nothing with him. The teacher can't teach him. This man is moving from one place to another, up in the mountains, back down in the valley, hollering, crying, cutting himself, and naked. So if Jesus can do something for this man, then surely, church, I said surely, he ought to be able to do something for you.
He ought to be able to do something for me. If Jesus can help this man, he ought to be able to help your boy who's out there on drugs. If Jesus can help this man, he ought to be able to help your daughter or my cousin who's selling food stamps for crack. Y'all don't hear me. If Jesus can help this man, he ought to be able to help your husband who won't bring his check home. Uh-huh. I said, if Jesus can help this man. You see, watch him now. Watch him. Watch the master work right here. Jesus saw him. Now, watch him work on this man. A crazy man that won't listen to nobody. Just watch the master. But before the master start to work, there's some more good preaching in here, and I don't want to deprive the church from this good preaching. Now, the Bible says he saw Jesus afar off, and he ran. And some of us ought to be running. He ran, and he worshiped him. And then verse 7 says, he cried with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that you torment me not. Now that seems paradoxical. That seems like a conflict of time. That doesn't seem quite right. He worshiped him and then said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? Don't torment me. Mm-hmm. And when I read that, I said, oh my God, that's good. Because we have folk in the church who will worship, but they don't want to be tormented. I said we got folk in the church that don't mind singing, don't mind worshiping, don't mind singing, oh, how I love Jesus. They don't mind saying amen every now and again. But don't you start telling them how to give. Don't you start telling them how they need to come back Sunday morning and Sunday night. Because then they'll say, Brother McGill, you torment me. You see, tell it like it is. You see, we got folk in the church who don't mind coming to church. Just don't ask me to do anything. You see, I don't mind coming to church. Just don't ask me for no money. I don't mind coming to church. Just don't ask me to be involved in no ministry. I will worship, but I don't want to be tormented. And we got folk like that in the church. They say, Brother McGill, go ahead and talk to me, but don't be preaching to me. Can't you talk to me without preaching to me? We got folk just like that. And if I keep on talking, y'all gonna know some folk just like that. Yeah, you'll recognize somebody just like that that's sitting on your row saying, why you talk to me like that? Don't talk to me like that. I'm a Christian too. Don't talk to me like that. I don't mind work. I don't mind worshiping and doing this and that. But don't be preaching to me. I get enough preaching at home. And if I keep on talking, you're going to know somebody just like this. Don't torment me. I don't mind worshiping, but don't ask me to do nothing or give nothing. Because when you ask me that, you're tormenting me. And that's just so much in your face. You see, now let's go back to the graveyard, because I know somebody asked, why would somebody want to live in the graveyard? Well, you see, in the graveyard, everybody's dead. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And when you hang out with dead folk, you do dead things. You see, when you're hanging out with dead folk, ain't nobody there to tell you to stop when you're hanging out with dead folk. This guy is up in the mountain, back down in the graveyard, crying. And ain't nobody in the graveyard said, man, shut up. And so we can go to sleep, you know, because everybody out there is dead. And young folk, church, stop hanging out with dead folk. Folk with no goals. Folk with no visions. Ain't going nowhere. Ain't got nothing in mind. Get out of the graveyard, because everything out there is dead. And you got folk like that. And if I keep on talking, hold me up, Holy Ghost. You know, you can leave home 7 o'clock in the morning, going to work, and you got brothers standing on the corner in front of the liquor, the store, waving at you. Store ain't even open up yet. Waving at you when you pass, talking about, hey, bro, what's up with you? Going to work, wear it up, make it do what it do. And when you come back, 5:30, hey, bro, got a quarter, what's up? And if they not in front of that store, they just at the store down the street. And you say, man, where you going? He ain't going nowhere. Just up in the mountain. Back down in the valley. Always hanging out with dead folk. And you got folk in the church that'll tell you, my best friend is not in the church. My best friend is not a Christian. Well, I'm not against your friends. I'm not telling you who to associate with and who not to. But if they're having a bad influence on you, then you need to find another friend. But when you hang out in the graveyard, when you hang out with dead folk, there ain't nobody to remind you when you get off track. Ain't nobody to say, you remember what the preacher said Sunday morning? Or Sunday night. Or remember what we learned in Sunday school. Then there's nobody in the graveyard to remind you of that. And you have a tendency to blend in with your environment. And ain't nobody there to say stop it. So I stopped by to say, church, don't hang out in the graveyard. Now this wild man, this crazy man, came out of the gates of the graveyard and said, Master, don't torment me. And Jesus knew that the man had a problem. And Jesus looked at him. And it seems as if Jesus was saying, you don't know me. Mm-hmm. And you know, you see some folk don't know Jesus. And they don't even know themselves. And Jesus seemed to say, it's clear that you don't know me. But let me see if you know who you are. Watch it right here. Verse 9. Jesus said, what's your name? Oh, he's getting ready to operate now. He said, what's your name? You see, if you don't know what your name is, you don't know what your heritage is. And if you don't know what your heritage is, no telling what you might or might not do. Because your name gives you identity. Your name identifies you with a certain family and with a certain group of people. And Jesus said, what is your name? So church,
If you don't know who you are, then you don't know what you can become. If you don't know who you are, you don't know where you're going. You see, you can get a degree, but it won't do you no good if you don't know who you are. Jesus said, "What is your name?" And watch this, verse 9. He answered, "My name is what? Legion. Because we are what? Many." In other words, the devil inside that man said, "Listen, Jesus, we know you got some power. We know that you're powerful, but you better not mess with us because we are many." In other words, they were trying to get their bluff in on Jesus, saying, "We are too many evil spirits for you to fool with, Jesus." But I stopped on my way to heaven to say, Jesus is able, church. I say, Jesus is able. And Jesus came with an eviction notice in his hand. I said he had an eviction notice in his hand. And he was about to evict every devil inside that man. There ain't nothing in here that Jesus can't evict. Y'all don't hear me. I don't care how many devils you got. I don't care what you into. Jesus can evict it. Jesus says, "Well, since you got so many devils in you, let me talk to the one in charge." Whoever in charge. Jesus says, "Come out." Jesus says, "Come out. Your rent is overdue. And you got to be evicted." Jesus can call anything out. Y'all hear me? Jesus can call anything out that you're suffering with. Whatever it is that keep you from doing what's right. And there are a lot of folk that want to do right, but they get tired of doing right. And there's some things that seem to just keep you to do right. I mean, Paul said, "When I would do good, evil is always with me." I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired of being sick and tired. I want to do right, but there's something in me that keep making me do wrong. I don't want folk looking at me saying this, "You're stuck on stupid. You ain't got to drink that much. I just drink." I ain't talking about me. I'm, you know. I ain't got that carried away. Yeah. Yeah. Jesus can call it out. I don't care if it's drugs. Jesus can call it out. I don't care if it's heroin, crack. Jesus can call it out. He can fix it. I said he can fix it. He can. Hey, look here. I told them in Bible class this morning, you ain't doing no good constantly demeaning and talking about Trump. You got to pray for that man. Jesus can fix President Trump. Matter of fact, he can fix all of us. Come talking about me. I saw you do this. I caught you. Who you think you are? Pray for me. If you want to help me, don't hurt me. Jesus can fix it. He can call it out. Jesus said, "Come out." And it seems to me that if he can fix this man, he can fix some folk you know. Now watch this. Watch this. Brother McGill, my son too messed up. No, he ain't. He ain't as messed up as this man. You see, this guy had 2,000 devils in him. 2,000. You hear folk, I was with the National Alliance for the Mentally Ill. I mean, we had to locate them in the church and set them up an office because we had almost 1,000 members. And I'm like, didn't I tell you? What am I missing here? Smart men,
but just as crazy.
I mean, you'll never know. That's why you got to have a relationship with folk. And you got to be around some folk a long time. Because they present themselves, you know, all that. And a bag of chips, and I want to rub shoulders with them. But then you say, what you say? and you just forget about it because you said, no, I know he didn't say that. Well, a legion is 2,000. A legion is an army military unit consisting of 2,000, a legion. And this says, this dude, they said, my name is Legion because we are many. I said, one legion is 2,000 soldiers. And this guy says, we are many. So we know he had at least 2,000 devils in him. But remember, it don't matter how many devils in the man or how many devils you got or I got. Jesus can exorcise them. Every one of them. And he said, now the devil said, and besought mercy that according to verse number 11, that he would not send them away out of the country. Because when Jesus evicted them, they had to come out. But he said, don't put us out the country. And verse 11 says, now there was nigh unto the mountains a great herd of hogs, some swine feeding. And verse 12 says, all the devils, when they saw that they couldn't handle the master, they said, all these devils said, send us into the swine that we might enter into them. Because the devil never wants to be without residency. I said he never wants to be without residency. The devil always want a place to stay. Don't let that man move in. Well, he always want a place to be his resident. And when the devil gets in you and he has residence, so he says, we need a place to put up shop. So the devil says, don't just put us out in the dry land. Let us go and get in these holes. And verse 13 says, and forthwith Jesus gave them leave. And the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine. And that herd of pigs, holes, ran violently down a steep into the sea. They were about 2,000, and they were choked in the sea. Now, Jesus let the evil spirit that was making that man crazy go into the holes. But the evil spirit got in them holes, and the holes said, ain't no way. Y'all hear me? Hogs slopping every day, but the hog said, ain't no way we can live. Y'all don't hear me? The hog said, we can't live with these evil spirits in us. We'd rather drown ourselves than to walk around with these evil spirits in us. Now, isn't it a shame that man will allow some stuff in him that even the hoes won't allow? Hoes got more respect than some folk have for themselves. Uh-huh. And the Bible says in verse 14 that they fed the swine. They that fed the swine fled, ran into the city and in the country, and they went out to see what it was. I'm about through. Stay with me. They wanted to see what it was that Jesus had done. And verse 15 says, and they came to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil. They saw the man that had a legion. Watch it. That guy that was up in the mountains, down in the valley, always, all day, all night, hollering, cutting himself and naked. Now look at him. Jesus done fixed him. Because the Bible says in verse 15 that he was sitting, had his clothes on. You see, some folk read that and forget the comma there. You see, I hear some folk read that and say, when they see him possess the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed in his right mind. No. That ain't what that says. It says he was sitting, comma, and clothed, comma, and in his right mind. You see, you can't run over them commas because there are a lot of folk clothed, but they ain't in their right mind. If I keep on talking, y'all gonna know somebody. I mean, somebody like clothes. And you see, a lot of folk got pretty clothes, but they ain't. And the Bible said in verse 16, and they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil. And also concerning the swine. But watch what they did. Watch what they did. Verse 17 says, when Jesus fixed this guy, that they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. In other words, when they saw what Jesus did, they told Jesus to get out of town. And I'm here to tell you that everybody in the community don't want the community cleaned up. That's what my Bible is saying. Because when these guys saw that they had lost all them hogs, all them chitlins, all them backbones, all them ham hocks, and all that money gone down the drain, they told Jesus, get out of town. You got to go. Now there are folk in the community right here that don't want the community cleaned up. The dope dealer don't want the community cleaned up because it'll hurt them economically. So they told Jesus, get out of town. But I want you to know, Jesus is not leaving. My Jesus is still hanging around. And he's still knocking at your door. And he's still saying, I can help you. Because whatever is wrong with you, or whatever is wrong with your child, bring him on to Jesus. Is he crazy? Is he just walking the street up and down the Broadway from one end to the other and back again all day and all night looking for some money, trying to get some dope? Bring her or him to Jesus. Jesus, the Bible teaches, bring them here. The Bible says Jesus can clean them up. Education won't do it. Money won't do it. Clothes won't do it. But I heard somebody ask the question, what can wash my sins away? And the answer came back, nothing but the blood of Jesus. You see, nothing but the blood. Only Jesus can fix us, church. Jesus can rise to another level of divinity. And whatever your problem is this morning, I want you to know Jesus can fix it. And you got some problems, because I got some too. I don't want yours, and you sure don't want mine. Jesus can fix it. You see, so come to Jesus. Bring her to Jesus. If you're here this morning, if your wife is not a Christian, bring her to Jesus. If your husband is not saved, Bring them to Jesus. Let Jesus fix it. And this is it. This is it. Here's how Jesus fixes it. You got to believe that he died and was buried and rose again the third day. And then you make up in your mind that you're going to repent of all of your past sins. And then you're going to have to come forward. You're going to have to get up off your seat. And come forward to accept Jesus. And you say, why should I, preacher? Because Jesus says, if you don't confess me before me, I won't confess you before my Father, which is in heaven. And after you make that confession, we'll baptize you. And when you're baptized, you'll meet the blood of Jesus. And his blood is going to cleanse you from all of your sins. And if you're here today and you need prayer, if you need the church to pray for you, you need the church to go in prayer with you because of some difficulty that you're having in life, I want you to get up and come on down here because it's prayer time, church. In just a moment, we're going to be praying that God will bless you and give you the strength that you need to make it in this life. Man, woman, boy, girl, chick or child, if you're here and you have sinned against the church and you cause the church to be evil spoken of, come on down and we're going to pray for you too. Come and ask the church to forgive you of your sins and we'll pray for you collectively that Jesus will somehow forgive you of every sin that you've ever committed, and he'll continue to bless you as his child. And then the second invitation is to those who are not Christian. If you're not a child of God, I want you to come to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. They want you to come. Jesus can rise to a whole nother level of divinity, and he can meet your need. If you're having difficulties, if you're lonely, if you don't have nobody to confide in, Jesus can fix it. He can fix anything that's not commensurate with his word. If you bought a friend that believes, y'all can come on down together. If they want to confess that Jesus is the Son of God and be baptized, then just come on. And he can rise to another level of divinity. Not just changing water in the mind, in the wine. But Jesus can straighten out your mind. Will you come to him and give him your life right now as together we stand and sing and give God glory and praise?
What can wash away my sin?
Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Blood of Jesus.